I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and thejournal.com. It is entirely too hot outside, Dylan.
Yeah, and the rain's not making it better.
I have to mention this because I hate summer. And it's finally here in full force. And I've been out on two football fields this week for as little amount of time as I could get away with. And I was still dripping in sweat both times. That turf at Tupelo makes it even worse.
Yeah, it's a frying pan.
It is. Okay, but it's here. Can't do nothing about it. We're here for another episode of Prep Rally. Thanks for joining us. You can find this podcast every Wednesday in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Got a little bit to talk about. I did mention the football. And I got out to a couple of 7-on-7 competitions this week. Let's start with New Albany on Monday, and I had a story on Cameron Knox, the wide receiver and safety for the Bulldogs. This is a kid who's gotten a good bit of recruiting attention. He's a USM commit. He's a guy who last year, Dylan, I mean, only had 18 catches in 9 games, but 9 of those went for touchdowns, and he averaged almost 25 yards a catch. I mean, he's a big play guy, and we'll probably see even more of that this year. He's going to move inside to the slot so they can do some different things with him. And, of course, you know, they graduated Isaiah Coran, so that puts even more onus on Knox to kind of be the go-to guy in the passing game. And he's got, you know, C.J. Hill at running back. We'll take some pressure off the pass game. Joe Mathis returns at quarterback. He's perfectly set up to have a big year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I watched that New Albany offense last year. I seen him in a game against Corinth. Corinth felt like he had a big night. And it was kind of how they used that slot, a lot of motion, a lot of quick outs and different things, getting the ball quick out of their hands and kind of getting the ball in his hands quick. And that's a guy, like, when you think about like Knox, like you wrote about, he's just poised to break out. And moving him into the slot, into that offense, you kind of think of like what Elijah Moore did at Ole Miss and
right.
How they kind of force-fed him the ball from that slot position. He's similar to what New Albany does and what they will do probably with Cameron Knox. And you got a guy like that, you know, C.J. Hill is going to get his load of carries, but, you know, A.I. Nugent's gone, Isaiah Carden's gone, you know, so there's touches to be had, and I think the bulk of those are going to go to Cameron this year, and he's going to do pretty well with them.
I think so. And the crazy thing is, as good as he is on offense, he's actually probably going to be a safety in college.
Absolutely.
As I mentioned, he's a USM commit. He's just super fast, got a nose for the ball, knows how to get to the ball, whether he's having it thrown to him or he's trying to pick it off. And he said he's trying to work on his cutting back to the ball. He said he's had problems, I guess, keeping his feet. He said he has slips sometimes. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's too fast.
Yeah.
But he's working on that, and you know, I think he'll have a big year defensively as well. I mean, he did great on that side of the ball last season. So that's a kid that you're going to see a lot from this year. And I think that offense can really do some special things. I mean, you mentioned C.J. Hill. I mean, he ran for, 1,200-something yards in just 9 games last year. And the year before that, I think he had about 1,500. I mean, this guy is a big, thick downhill runner, and Joe Mathis is a returning starter at quarterback. Cody Stubblefield, the coach, hasn't had a returning starter at quarterback in his time there.
And last year, Joe's season last year, you know, passed up for 1,000 yards and stuff, and that was his first varsity action as a starting quarterback. You know, he transferred in from Ripley, and he didn't really get any varsity playing time there at Ripley and stuff. You know, and he gets over to New Albany, and that was his thrown to the fire type of moment.
Yeah.
You know, and I know what that's like to take that jump, you know, like you get a year under you come out the next year and it's like, oh, I've seen all this before.
Right. Exactly.
And so it is, that's huge for at that quarterback position. And so that's why I think New Albany with Knox, with Hill and Mathis, all those three guys that we just mentioned, they got a chance to be pretty special on offense, especially in that division. So
certainly another offense that ought to be pretty good once again is Corinth. They got out Tupelo on Tuesday, the 7-on-7 there, and the Warriors were one of the teams present. And this is a squad that's, you know, lost its head coach. You know, Todd Lowry left for another job, but Justin Dye, who's been on staff the last several years, got promoted to head coach, and they've been running that wing T that's produced so many yards and points, and it produced a state championship a couple of years back. So they lost their head coach. They lost their top two rushers, Caden Betts and Azarius Jones. They combined for over 2,000 yards on the ground last year. But this offense, you know, they've been these kids have been coming up in this system now, this wing T, and so they're very familiar with it. They're going to stick with it, even though Lowry, the guy who brought it to Corinth, is gone. But the coaching staff's familiar with it, and, you know, I think really with the pieces they have, I don't think this offense is going to skip a beat. Chris Rogers, let's talk about him first. Mm-hmm. This kid is a he's going to be a junior, but he just turned 15. He's 6'2", 195, and I got a good look at him earlier this week, and my gosh. Yeah. I mean, he played defense a good bit last year, you know, did a good job there, like 58 tackles, two or three picks, but now he gets a chance to run the ball, which he didn't really do much at all last year because of Jones and Betts. And he's going to be the lead guy in that wing T rushing attack, and he's going to be a guy that's going to be hard to bring down. I can just tell by looking at him.
Yeah, he's an explosive athlete. Like you said, that I saw Corinth probably three or four times last year, and mainly he stuck out on defense because he was leading tackler last year, like you said, with 58 tackles. And there was times you would see him from that linebacker spot go from 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage to 5 yards the other way, you know, and make an attack on the backfield. And it was like – and it was in a blur. It was just like, whew. But, you know, they didn't necessarily need him on offense, like you said, with Caden Betts and Naz Jones. So, they, you know, this year he'll get a chance to go both ways. And I just think that type of athleticism, you know, you put the ball in his hands like that, is something good's probably going to happen. And and another deal, you said, with Bronner Cregine.
Yeah.
First year is taking over as the varsity quarterback. You know, now he's got that year under his belt. You're comfortable in that system now.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just kind of expect him to take a next step. Threw for 1,000 yards last year, too.
Yep.
And you just kind of expect them to take a next step. But
yeah, and, you know, there was talk after Dye took the job, or at least I asked him about it.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, you're going to change your offense? He's like, well, we have to see. Because, you know, you've got Bronner Cregine, who's really a passing quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, his predecessor, D.T. Sheffield, would throw a little bit, but he was really a runner.
Right.
Just a very dynamic playmaker. And Bronner is not going to be a Sheffield type at the run game, but he can beat you with his arm. Got a very strong arm, can make the throws all over the field. So they're going to, you know, incorporate that like they did last year. You know, they incorporated his passing ability, tweaked a few things. They'll go to the shotgun sometimes, mix things up, then go back under center. So, you know, I think Cregine well, you know, if he can take his game just a little bit to another level this year, that just makes it that much tougher to defend that offense. You know, he's a kid that Justin Dye was saying, he knows the offense. He knows where everybody else is supposed to be, what they're supposed to be doing on each play. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really is in command of that offense. And, he's come up through the system in that offense.
And that's a big key component of why you may want to keep that offense. If you're a new head coach, you're thinking, okay, I've got this young kid that's already got a year of experience running this offense, you know, and he did a pretty good job of it last year in his first year. You know, why change anything and throw a wrinkle into this when we've got the pieces to keep it going and be successful? So that'll be interesting to see, man, because I think, like you said, it gives a different dynamic because, you know, who knows, it may look like a wing T option reverse going one way, and next thing you know, there's a tight end going down the middle of the field, you know, 50 yards down the field, and there's Cregine just bombing it down there. So,
right.
That definitely adds a different element.
Okay, let's move on to some coaching news that hasn't stopped yet. Late last week, we learned of a couple of more baseball hires. Sean Holliday has been promoted to head coach at Tupelo Christian. Now, he will remain as the head football coach there as well, which he has been for the last, 9 years. And he replaces Drew Dillard. We were told that Dillard was let go due to budget cuts on the teaching side, the teaching staff budget cuts. So, he just won a state championship. But
yeah, that's
they weren't able to keep him. But Sean has been on the staff with the baseball program for a long time. I mean, his entire time at TCPS, so like the past decade. So, and he's a baseball guy at heart. You know, he played at ICC and Ole Miss. I mean, both of his sons are really good baseball players, Kai and Lath. So, he should be able to keep things going. You know, got continuity there and everything. So, hate it for Drew Dillard, but I imagine he'll land somewhere on his feet because clearly he's a good coach.
Yeah, yeah, there's somebody out there that's going to say, let me see your resume, and it's going to have 2021 Class 1A state champion on it. And
right.
Like, hey, we'll take a chance on that.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And then Oxford got a new head coach. Cade Hoggard, familiar name. He played for the Chargers back in the day. He was part of that 2005 team that won a state title, and he was our player of the year, actually, and the Daily Journal player of the year. He's been at Amory the last couple of seasons and not planned on leaving, but he said Oxford, like, that was the only school that could pull him away. And then, of course, you know, Chris Bauman stepped down to be a co-activities director at Oxford, and that opened the door for Cade, who played under Bauman, well, when Bauman was an assistant. So, you know, he's very familiar with the program, obviously, and has done did a pretty good job at Amory. Didn't really have a big sample size there, a season and a half, but, you know, they had a good 2021 season.
Yeah, reached the North Half Finals this year
right.
against Boonville, you know, and
yeah.
the team that they swept in the regular season and then, got swept in the playoffs there. So he's obviously kind of shown through 2 years at Amory that he knows what he's doing. And, and obviously what he accomplished as a player there, too, is – leading him back there to Oxford, and with all the talent that they have every year, I'm sure he'll be fine over there.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, certainly. Okay, let's talk about all-area softball. That's right. It came out finally in this in the paper this past Sunday. Player of the year, coach of the year, and the first and second team. And player of the year, Hallie Burns. You know, it was kind of a tough decision on that because, I mean, she had some good competition in that category. Kinsley Gordon of Myrtle, you got Ramsey Montgomery over there at Manitatchee. But, I mean, Hallie Burns, 337 strikeouts, which is ridiculous. She averaged right at 2 strikeouts per inning. 0.87 ERA led Boonville to its first state title. Not bad at the plate either, hit .409. 36 RBIs, so congrats to Hallie Burns. Coach of the Year, Christy Montgomery of Manitatchee, she led her Lady Mustangs all the way to the 2A state finals, which coming into the season, I would not have guessed that. This is a team that's very young, had 2 seniors, then a junior, and after that, it was a bunch of 7th and 8th graders. At one point, they had 6 middle school kids in their starting lineup, which is saying something. In fact, Christy told me a little story the other day before I interviewed her. She was, at the state championships, the 2A finals in Starkville. After Manitatchee lost
it was Lake. Correct?
Lake, yeah. Lake head coach came up to her and was congratulating her on a good season and her team. And it's like, how many you got coming back? She's like, just about everybody, because most of these girls are middle schoolers. And he was like, We beat a middle school team, basically.
Yeah.
It was a very good middle school team.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
For her to be able to piece that puzzle together and get them all the way to the state finals, remarkable. And, I mean, obviously it helps to have Ramsey Montgomery, her daughter, in the circle, one of the best pitchers in the state. I mean, just looking at her numbers, she had a 1.48 ERA. She struck out 291, and she could hit the cover off the ball, 541 average.
She had a special year, and that's probably going to be a theme for the next.
And she's
three
just
years.
A freshman,
right?
Yeah. And did I mention Hallie's a sophomore?
Yeah, like that's what you like. You mentioned all the middle school stuff, and you just throw in that like Ramsey was a freshman. She's not far removed from middle school either. So
no.
It's like, you know, it's not even just that they had that many. Like, they only had 2 seniors on the entire team, and I think
right.
like one junior.
I think so.
It was like, so they're built for. You know, 3-4 years, 5 years down.
Oh, definitely,
line, so.
Definitely. So looking at the first team, Lindsay Barber of Manitatchee, that's another girl that could hit .573 on the year. Anyway, you had her, you had Riley Bearden of Tisch County, Hallie Burns I mentioned, Emily Coggan of East Union, Kinsley Gordon of Myrtle, Allison Harrison of South Pontotoc, Paige Kilgore of Houston, Ramsey Montgomery of Manitatchee, Annie Orman of West Union, and Maddie Terrell of Vardaman. Second team was, as always, the hardest to trim down to 10, but... and I feel bad about some of the kids I left off, but what are you going to do?
I tried to talk you into a third team this year.
You did.
I had trouble with my baseball second team, too. And I was like,
I was thinking about it a little bit, but I just wanted to keep it a little more exclusive, I guess. Anyway, yeah. So if you want to check out the rest of that team and read the stories again in the Sunday Daily Journal, or check it out at djournal.com. And yes, the all area baseball team should be in this coming Sunday's paper. So look for that as well. Okay, let's end it with a shout out. It goes out to South Pontotoc baseball team. They played in that summer NIMCAB tournament last week over in New Albany. They beat Ripley 7-5 to win the title, and that was last Wednesday. And this kid, Jackson Rogers for South Pontotoc, 4-for-4 at the plate, a double, a triple, 3 RBIs, and he gunned down 2 runners at the plate to end the inning. The first one kept it a 5-5 game. The next one preserved a 6-5 lead for South Pontotoc. I mean, that's a kid who I think he's just going to be a junior.
I was just saying, I think he's just me.
He had a solid year for South this past spring, and he's really seems to be kind of developing into an even bigger piece for the Cougars. So.
Yeah, I think we're a long way away from baseball season next year.
Yes, we are.
You can go ahead and circle South as one of those teams. South Pontotoc is one of those teams to watch out for, because they bring a lot back, and they were dangerously close this year. So
exactly. All right, that's all the time we have for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all for joining us. You can catch us every Wednesday in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. I'm on there at Brad Locke. Dylan's on there at Dylan Barnes DJ. And we shall return next week.